It's Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome back to the show, episode 306. 306 episodes. Wow. This is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of
songwriting.
We share tips, tools, techniques, and alliteration, and together we all become better at writing songs, ideally. I'm your host, Mike Proudfoot, and joining me are the all-star members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. We have Fantastic Phil.
I am flantastic indeed.
Flange. We'll take care of that in post. We have Notorious Neil.
Why, thank you very much. I'm feeling quite notorious.
And on social media tonight, we have Rita the Righteous.
Oh, yeah.
Woo-hoo. And finally on the tech board, it's Dynamo Don.
Oh, thank you. Dynamite thank you
for,
I am. I...
Yes. Thank Dynamo. You for keeping
Watch
it real,
me blow man. Up.
Please don't.
Not dynamite, dynamo.
With me.
Dynamic.
Dynamo like a superhero.
This is going off the rails already. Yeah. During the show, send your comments, complaints, and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter or Facebook or feedback at songtalk.ca, and we will share them with the audience in real time. Unless, of course, you're watching the podcast, in which case it's in the past.
It's right? fake time.
It's fake time. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca to find out how you can be a guest on our show. We're excited tonight to talk to Jaden Lamb and Marco. But before we get to that, I want to remind you the Song Talk Challenge is up next week.
Yes, it is.
We'll be presenting our songs that we were challenged with the challenge to write positive lyrics over a minor key.
Yes. And how is that going?
For me, pretty good. I finally got a decent drummer. Thank you, Neil.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Who
so
might that be?
Helping to put that together. Yeah. But we're hoping to hear from you as well. So if you want to participate in said challenge, please send your songs into us and we will feature them on the show next week.
Yeah,
how's it going for you, Phil?
It's been actually very productive. I've written a lot of songs, but none of them are, unfortunately, in a minor key with positive words. So I start off with something, and then it comes up, and then it's not right. So,
oh, boy.
So you're going down a lot of – you're exploring.
Well, I'm exploring. I've actually got a lot of songs done, so that's okay.
Well, it's just not a bad
And Neil, place. How's it working out for you?
I'm pretty much done. I'm doing the arrangement and the production.
The getting
now.
Snowed in on Saturday helped?
The getting snowed – yeah, snow day was totally a studio day. It's been half the afternoon on Mike's song, doing the drums and stuff, and then the other half of it doing my own. So, yeah. Pretty much there.
And then you send it to me. I go, no.
Change this and this. I've got notes.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's Song Talk. We got that off. Is there any other news? Or
Yes, we got some listener mail. Dear Michael, Neil, Phil, and Vanessa, congrats
what
on.
What about Don?
I'm sure they meant Don.
Yeah.
congrats on the Song Talk podcast. I'm a fan. I'm also a very amateur songwriter, and I'm pretty good with data software. My day job is a researcher at Bose.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that you know, if we only had some Bose stuff to kind of try out and talk about how
that's
great it was
true,
on the
I
air,
think,
that would
like, wonder how we would arrange that.
Because we don't like, there's not even enough headphones to go around here. Like, even some headphones would help.
Really, we need anything. I often get stuck in a chord progression where I have an idea of the chord I want, but I can't find it. I decided to make a free iOS app to help this. This is just a hobby project for me. I trained some machine learning on 10,000 popular songs, and I use it to give you a small number of suggestions for the next chord in your progression. I think of it as a utility that that a songwriter might have alongside their guitar tuner. It's at nextchord.app, nextchord.app. And
available at your app store, I imagine.
Yes, I think it might just be iOS at this point. Anyways, I would love it if you would all check it out. If you like it, it would be a dream for me to meet. A dream for me if you mentioned it on the podcast or elsewhere online.
Well I downloaded it, so I'll check it out.
And yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. It's very handy, actually.
And I know nothing about chord progression.
Does it actually give you an option, like I want a weird choice or I want like a conventional choice?
I haven't tried it out yet, so I
haven't played
out
with it that much.
Well, maybe if you downloaded it and tried it, you'd know.
Yeah, I have a Samsung phone, but I actually use my iPad, so there you go.
All right. Any other anything else, Phil?
Yes. Well, we have a bit of news about Queen.
The Queen?
Not the Queen.
But Queen is going to be put on a coin in Britain. Yes. I think John brought it to
a commemorative coin or like in regular circulation.
Was this they're thinking about it or they're actually doing it?
What do you think, Don?
No, they're actually going to do it. They're going to put that coin. I think it was actually released already.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Really.
Well, if you'd like to send in those Queen commemorative coins to us, that would be fine.
Yes.
Buy some, sure.
They use actually cost more than they're worth, though. Well, typical commemorative
coins always do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's...
go with our Queen commemorative plates we have.
Yes. And, of course, we have a new $5 Canadian note coming up.
Oh, yes.
So who should be on that?
Are they soliciting or we have no say in
it? No, they're soliciting.
They're soliciting.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned putting Neil Peart.
Yeah,
Neil
I suggested Neil Peart because you know, he's good at the 5/4 time signature, so fives.
Right.
Know.
What song would of theirs would you know?
There's
like,
probably
best known.
The one that comes to mind is Free Will
okay.
from 1979's Permanent Waves, although it's got a lot of different time signatures in there. Five's just one of them.
Right.
So
exactly.
Go prog rock.
Apparently, some of the people are being looked at is Terry Fox.
Yeah,
Gord Downie and Don Cherry, which I don't
think. Right. Anyone who's not a white guy.
Terry Fox is a white guy.
I'm sorry?
Terry Fox is a white guy, but
yeah,
I love that idea.
Terry Fox would be good, but if the short list had maybe a greater range.
Yes, for sure.
Like maybe First Nations.
That would be especially good.
Yeah, although maybe they would not. I'm not so sure, but don't you have to be dead to be on a bank note?
Well, that's two out of the three. But I would say putting someone as divisive as Don Cherry on it would be a bad idea.
I agree. Anyways. Yeah. So what musician would you like on the $5 note? Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
He's not dead, but I think Gordon Lightfoot would be good.
Yeah.
Or Ann Murray.
And I think, Neil, you got something?
Got any news?
Yeah. So this weekend on Saturday, I'm actually going to the Music Expo.
The Music Expo,
the
Neil?
The Music Expo is... I'm actually not sure. I haven't been there before, but it's got they actually have a Neil Peart tribute table where they're gathering messages. They're going to send them to the band.
You can write in their little book
or whatever. There's a bunch of people showing up there. Gord Depp from Spoons and Flock of Seagulls. Alan Cross is going to be there. Eric Alper is going to be there. Sharon Hampson from Sharon Lewis and Bram is going to be there.
Oh, brilliant.
There's a trade show. There's a musician's alley where musicians can network with each other. There's an acoustic showcase. And hosted by Matt Zaddy, who's actually going to be on our show sometime, as soon as we book him.
Oh, okay.
He's a very talented musician, singer-songwriter.
Sharon Lewis and Bram doing a Rush
and
tribute.
And so where is this?
Prizes and tickets. It's in Mississauga. We'll send out a link
on the site. Mississauga, Ontario, for those
Mississauga,
of you listening.
Mississauga, Ontario.
Are there other Mississaugas, by the way?
I mean,
there's a lot of
Saturday. It's in the Mississauga Convention Center. Doors open at 11 a.m. sharp on Saturday, January 25th.
January 25th.
All right.
So by the time this podcast
really
comes out
it'll be too late, sorry.
It was amazing. You should have been there.
Come next year.
Oh, my God.
They were giving away free cars. It was amazing.
There are prizes. There's a prize thing.
That's true. Okay.
So, hey.
Wonderful. Okay, so we've gotten all that out of the way. Let's get to the main attraction. Here at Song Talk World Headquarters, we're always excited to discover emerging artists in tonight's guest, a relative newcomer to the Canadian music scene, but she's already made a big splash. Jaden Lamb makes catchy modern pop music, upbeat, listener-friendly compositions that disguise deeper and darker subject matter. A longtime pal of the show, our friend Blair Packham, has described Jaden as having a voice unlike any other I've heard. Her moody electronic pop has a style similar to Lord, Kate Bush, Grimes. In 2018, Jaden released her debut single, A Day Off, and now she has a whole new parcel of great tunes, some of which she will play and talk about here on this very show right now. Ooh. Welcome, Jaden.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
This is actually a term. You guys mentioned something in there that I've been sort of muddling around in my mind, modern. What do you guys mean by modern?
Well, when we were writing Bad Sign, we tried to make it modern because we face modern problems in the song. That's what the song's about.
Okay.
So what the arguments that happen over phone text conversations and stuff like that, there's a lot of that happening in young people's relationships
nowadays.
Okay, so
largely in the lyrical content.
Yeah, so I make a lot of references to, you know, social media and calling me up and, you know, letting me go and texting me and tagging me and tweeting at me and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think musically also the sonic landscapes of pop music have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And to, I think, an interesting and much more experimental way for something that's, you know, supposed to be mainstream, you know, listening to, like, the song you're referring to, there's kind of, you use the sounds of texting and
yes, part of the
rhythms and flavors in there too. So I think that kind of sonic openness is part of what I think of when I think of modern music.
Yeah, like there's a lot of sound design stuff going on in contemporary music. For sure.
It's an interesting thing because sometimes those sounds very modern, but at one time they won't. Because at one time, if you put the sound of a modem, you know, the old dial-up modems, it's like
The one that would have sounded like a really unhappy computer.
Yes.
But now that sort of sounds kind of dated, or you know. So
I think Foley is probably going to be like, because there's a lot of Foley sounds in use in pop music these days, and I think that's going to be the sound of the 2010s probably. That kind of Foley, and there's a lot of organic sounding percussion in there. It's not like how it was in the 90s where it was very, you knew it was a sampler or whatever.
Yeah, that was sort of part of the deal was, even the way it was chopped up and stuttered and that, you know.
Yeah.
Our robot overlords kind of deal. It's now much more subtle as you said, organic.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I noticed is the credits on the song, they list both Jaden and Marco.
Yes.
So what's the process? Like, are you sort of a writing duo now, or?
Yeah, I've taken him on, like, as my producer because we have been working together for years now on stuff. He's my favorite producer that I work with. He's a genius. He gets me better than any other producer I've worked with. It's easy with him. We balance each other out very well. So I'll do mostly writing and singing and melodies, and he will make the production side of things, so the beat. But I also like to have my hand in that. I like to kind of dictate, you know, not that sound. Slow it down, but this is about my voice.
No.
It's Jaden Lamb with Material City.
Yes. So what's the process? I mean, are you like working separately and then coming together? Or?
Yeah, he lives, you know, far away from me, so we do a lot of it over the internet online. We do FaceTime calls and stuff like that, but we do most of our work separately, and we'll kind of stay on the phone as we work through things, so I can hear it live how he's doing it.
So when you're coming up with lyrics and melodies, are you also sitting down at the piano and hashing out chord progressions, or do you leave that to Marco?
It's both, actually. It's both. Like, we're collaborating pretty much on everything. Like, on Bad Sign, when I was, like, I wrote a lot of the lead hook on the chorus, but she also contributed to that. Like, the last, I remember specifically, she wrote the last bar of that as well. And so, like, there's things I'm writing, there's things she's writing, and it's all kind of coming together for the whole song. It's not just...
It's never the same thing, what we do. The process is always a little different, but it's 50-50. Okay.
What was the process of actually finding Marco? I mean, how did that work out?
We had actually finished the same program at college, independent music production at Seneca College. We had both done the program, and there's a Facebook alumni group that you get added to once you graduate, where... older students, the new ones that just graduated, we can all come together and talk about things, share what we've done. And he had made a post looking for a female singer for one of his songs. And he sent a demo, and I listened to it on SoundCloud, and I absolutely loved it. It sounded like a modern Owl City. And I messaged him. I said, oh, pick me. There was a bunch of other vocalists he was choosing between, and we've been working together ever since.
Things have worked out well.
Things have worked out very well.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that post.
We both went to IMP at Seneca, and you mentioned Blair Packham before. He was one of my teachers as well. And so, like, we were a few years separated in when we went, but we both kind of met up in the group there, and we've been working together now for 2 years. So.
Like 3 years, has it not?
Time flies.
Goodness, like I can't remember where it began.
Well, 2 years ago you released a song, so I'm thinking it probably took a bit of time prior.
Yes, I released a day off on my own, and...
Oh, that was without Marco?
That was completely on my own.
Okay.
I made that for school. One of our projects was to make a single for a CD that we released at the end of the year. Uh-huh. So that song was made for the program. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 8 months later I released Water, and between that time I had met you, and that was our first song that we made together. And it's my favorite song I've ever released.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I wanted to ask about your approach, because you're releasing singles.
Yes, I'm releasing singles. I'm avoiding EPs and albums for now. It's something I want to do. But...
Is there a reason?
I don't want to sound too selfish or like I care about numbers as much as I do, but it is important. And when I release my EP or my album or what I want to do next, a full body of work, I want it to do well. I want it to be successful. I want it to get the listeners that it deserves. I don't want to put in a year and thousands of dollars into an album when no one's going to hear it. So I'm releasing singles out, you know, consistently every month. I'm trying to gather the fan base and grow it so that when I do choose to release the EP, I have that fan base ready to listen to it.
What are your strategies to build the fan base?
Well, I'm on social media pretty much 24/7. Gives me a headache. Yes.
So now, have you found certain channels better than others?
Certain channels?
Yeah, like
so
your favorite Instagram over Facebook?
Yes, Instagram is definitely my favorite. I find it very difficult to break through on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Instagram is the only one that I've been like very successful at.
Interesting.
Yes, it's definitely the easiest for me. I like it the best.
And what do you release on Instagram? Music, videos, do you document your recording process?
Oh, yeah. I'll film myself.
Stray photos.
I'll film day-to-day things. I'll let all my listeners and viewers in on my life, what I do every day, how I make music, what's going on in my career. I always let everybody know.
What you have for breakfast.
Yes,
And what is going on in your career right now? Where are you at? You had your debut, and I've got a couple of songs coming out.
Right, yes. We're working on another song that we're going to release in February,
hopefully,
if everything goes to plan.
Well, sometimes
actually,
the process
let me interrupt. Isn't... Before we go any further, let's hear one of the songs you have released, one of your newer songs. You want – let's go with Bad Sign?
Yes, Bad Sign.
This is a really cool idea and lyric to it and a great sound. So listen to it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Of course.
All right.
I'm all in, don't have the energy. I know it's no surprise.
Oh,
Okay. That was a bad sign, written by Jaden Lamb and Marco Palma.
Nice.
Yeah. Correct,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Really clever song. I mean, it sounds very upbeat and positive, but then, well, I thought, first time I heard it, I was really taken with how it's about a relationship, but entirely online relationship, mm-hmm. it seemed, which I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. I've never heard that before.
Right. Yeah.
But there's actually more to it than that, too. I was reading an interview where it had to do with a relationship that someone you knew was in.
Yes. At the time that I wrote Bad Sign, my younger sister that I love very dearly, she's my best friend, she was in a really bad relationship. And it was killing me knowing how sad she was every day. She was crying herself to sleep, like, every night. And me and Marco, we were working on a song for a competition that we had heard about in the summer. And so we were scrambling to get it together. He had made the beat, and I was about to start the lyrics when Rihanna and my sister came into my room to start another two-hour-long ranting session about another fight that they were having. And she was showing me, you know, the text message arguments. And I thought, I might as well use this as inspiration for the lyrics. So I based all my writing on the fight that was happening right in front of me.
Cool.
And the video is quite cool. It all takes place in text,
the video was all done in text message. Which,
yes.
We had fashioned. Actually, you should credit your sister as a co-writer.
Right. Exactly. Honestly.
What do you think, Nick?
Thanks, Rihanna.
I really liked it. I like that it actually has like a number of different sections. You got a verse. You've got what you're calling on the lyric sheet, a pre-chorus one, and then a chorus, which I'm actually hearing more as a pre-chorus.
Right.
And then you're showing me all the bad signs as your actual chorus. To me,
right? Yes, yeah. That's like the drop.
It's a bit of what
post.
You name it, but again, the salient point is that you've got a lot of changes happening in the song. It drops down a little bit quiet. It's a little bit more active. You know, like the energy map is quite good. The lyric references are pretty fun. With the I really like the you just want to repeat, keep me out of your subtweet. Tagging all your selfies.
I remember when I came up with that line, I was like, Marco, subtweet.
Tweet. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's perfect.
You were doubting yourself on that line. I remember.
I was not, you were doubting me.
No, you're
the wrong person.
Phil, is subtweet a thing?
I don't doubt myself.
What's that?
Is subtweet a thing?
Yep. Not that I know of.
Jaden, can you explain?
Not yet.
Okay.
Subtweet is when you say something hurtful about someone, but you don't directly tag them. So if you're upset at someone, you say something petty, but you make it obvious, that it's about them, but you don't tag them.
Ah, okay.
So
it's kind of passive aggressive.
You old guys are learning stuff.
Learning all about the Twitter.
It happens a lot in relationships.
The only thing I would have done, a very small tweak, mm-hmm. is I would have made the first verse about the happy time. Because the relationship never goes bad right off the bat, right?
You'd be surprised.
Well, I agree on that.
Well, there could be a moment, right, where there's a glimmer of happiness.
Absolutely.
Because when you get into your pre-chorus, and then I see what I don't like, you've already mm-hmm. gone to that other place, right?
Right?
But I would just give that glimmer of hope before you,
that's a good idea.
Dash down
it's
the,
a good
the thing.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I had no hope for her boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, because
you didn't want to admit there was any good to that guy.
There was nothing good about
that. Most of the place you say you were coming from, it was all down in the dumps. That's when you first entered this thought process about mm-hmm. to make this a song. But if you go back into her history, how did it actually start?
That's all.
One thing that I thought was really effective, I agree, definitely the Show Me All the Bad Signs, which you call your post-chorus, that really is the chorus. That's a sing-songy, that's sort of what, that kind of jumps up in energy. That's really where your chorus is supposed to be.
Right.
But there's, you have a little counter melody on those lines. Show me all the bad signs. That melody, that
right.
Which is really, really nice. And it's a very classical kind of pop song thing to do. But that's a wonderful little, because people don't do that as much as they used to. And it's a very effective technique, I think, to actually kind of...
Sort of a call and response thing.
Yeah, it really makes the chorus stand out quite a bit. And I liked how the, you have like your pre-chorus and then the, what you call this chorus, which is sort of a drop. Mm-hmm. You had enough changes there that it didn't feel like you necessarily needed a bridge. Mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. you know, you actually change tonal center and you wind up with some different melodies. It didn't seem to really need that quite as much. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's a pretty common thing, actually, these days. Like, a lot of pop songs are just foregoing bridges altogether.
Yeah.
I love bridges.
I do like bridges.
Everyone want to get rid of bridges, you know? No, I don't think I would.
A bridge, when it's really well done, mm-hmm. it can really elevate a song.
Sometimes bridges are my favorite part of the song, you know? Absolutely.
My problem is when I write a bridge, I end up then turning the rest of the song into what the bridge was.
Yeah,
because
oh, no,
I love my
bridge
so much.
Bridge support.
You take your old chorus and make that the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but yeah, the way a bridge can give you a different perspective on the mm-hmm. idea or something.
How about you, Mike? What did you like about the?
Well, I was saying, like, I like the. It sounds like an upbeat pop song, and it does have a kind of a traditional pop feel, but it's made in a very modern way, which I like that. Mm-hmm. Like a way of updating
songs. I remember
and then you find there's more to the story, which is great.
A few years ago, I wrote a song called Cyberpunk, which is about this character who was completely on social media all the time. And I did the same thing. I included like a little bit of a ringtone. But the problem was I tried to find, like I went online to find like a typical Samsung ringtone. Mm-hmm. And there is no typical ringtone. Everyone changes their ringtone to something else. Sounds like a phone from the 50s or sounds like, you know, some bleep, bleep, bloop thing. Or for myself, I just insert my own music track. There's no typical ringtone. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay.
We got an email from Fugazi Johansson.
Oh, my goodness.
Says, from Liverpool, UK.
Oh. Hi.
Jaden Lamb on tonight. Tell her she is amazing. Love her songs.
Jaden, you're amazing. Next.
Thank you so much.
From Fugazi. Tell Jaden.
Loves your songs, by the way.
Yeah.
Tell Jaden, Imogen, age 9, who has autism, said she will be her best friend and loves all her songs.
Oh, Imogen, thank you so much. We're going to play on Roblox soon, okay?
Okay.
We're going to have fun. We're going to play some games.
Cool.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy you like my song, Imogen.
Hey. So about the song. So how did this come from, like, did this start from a lyrical idea? Or you said that you had you'd made the kind of a bed track for this?
For Bad Sign?
Yeah, for this.
We had heard about this song competition in the summer called It's Your Shot. And we found out about it rather last minute. So we had maybe 2 weeks to make something. Mm-hmm. So he had made the beat and we were going to put this in for the competition.
It went by so fast. I can't even remember what came first. I made the bed. I know we usually start by me having a rough bed track and then she'll write lyrics to it.
Did you do the top line as well, or did you bring that in, or?
No, you wrote the top line. You wrote the melodies for the vocals, right? I might have some input sometimes, like, oh, let's tweak this, let's tweak that, but she usually top lines the whole thing.
Yeah, no, so, yes. Yeah. I think I did do that for Bad Sign. Mm-hmm. I'm getting it mixed up with Long Way Home.
Right.
We've made so many songs together, it's hard to remember, honestly.
Excellent.
He had made the beat first and then I wrote the lyrics and the melody afterwards within 2 days. Like, that was it. We didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah. Speaking of efficiency, we need to take a break for sponsors and alerting other people about important things.
Hello, sponsors.
All right. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio, streamed on songtalk.ca. And tonight, our guest is Jaden Lamb.
Hello.
Hello. Don't forget you. You better not forget this, because we love to hear from you. So why don't you send in a tweet to us at Song Talk Radio. Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca.
I forget what you just said.
Or send us something on Facebook, Instagram, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And don't forget, you can find the links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned here on the show on our resources page. And coming up on the next couple of weeks, January 28th, special guest Linda Lavender joins us as we unveil our responses to the recent songwriting challenge. Ooh. Positive lyrics written over a minor key.
Linda Lavender.
Yes, we can
be nice
very
of Linda
excited.
Back.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm looking forward to what I'm going to read.
Hope she's kind.
Right over the next.
And it was actually Linda's. In some ways, it was Linda's idea, because when she mentioned she was doing this songwriting challenge thing at the Toronto Songwriting Association, I was like, hey, we should do that on the show.
Yes, it was good. And of course,
steal the ideas
out there. If you're working on a song, send it in our way too. We'd love to hear what you're up to. February 4th, Blair Packham returns, drops by to talk about the illusion of authenticity. Mm-hmm. So I imagine it's
keeping it real, man.
Keeping it real. And if you happen to be in the Toronto area, please join us for the next Songwriters Meetup on Sunday, January 26th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transat Club. Free to join and free to attend. Stop by songtalk.ca for a link for the Songwriters Meetup. And who's hosting that?
I'm hosting the meetup this
weekend.
You're
hosting the meetup? Yeah. Okay, so it'll be good. Weekend.
And if you guys, if our listeners and you guys, in fact, are curious about what Blair Packham is going to be on the show talking about.
I am.
We went way back to our, when we did a show about rhymes. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs that we brought in was Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. And irrespective of the rhyme scheme of that song, we started talking about whether that story in that song was actually Tracy Chapman's life or whether it was not. And Blair went on this little bit about, yeah, I love to talk about the illusion of authenticity, about how songwriters, especially singer-songwriters, when they write songs, how much of it is from their own personal experience, their own life? How much of it are they pulling from their sister or pulling from something else or some news they read or something like that? And I think Blair's contention, there's a lot of it is not necessarily direct personal experience.
It doesn't have to be true
to sound true.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree.
Yeah, you know,
it doesn't have to be true to sound good either.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
You can lie the truth.
Yeah.
But that's next week.
That's the era we're in right
that's
now.
That's this week.
That's 2 weeks
that's
from
now. 2 weeks. Sorry, that's next week is us.
Next week is
Jane,
all,
there's,
all on us.
Before we started recording, you were talking about your approach to releasing singles.
Right.
So actually, how are you specifically doing it? Are you putting it out on social media? Do you upload it to SoundCloud or iTunes or
selling out the trunk of your car or what?
No, I don't do that. That's far too scary. I go through a distributor called CD Baby,
and CD Baby, okay.
That's how I get my music to everything. Yes, and they send it everywhere. I avoid the free streaming ones like SoundCloud and other ones like that, but I do upload it to SoundCloud. My own CD Baby doesn't do that. I try to cover as much as I can. While making money.
And you also do something visually for every song.
Right. So every time I release a song, I also want something visual to go along with it, whether that's a lyric video or a music video or an acoustic performance or maybe a video showing how I make the beat, just anything to go with it that people can actually watch.
And are you
visuals
all, and because you're heavy on Instagram, do you ever like go back to video footage you shot and said this would be good for this music video, or like if you just do a compilation of stuff you already have, or do you actually sit down and conceptualize a video for the song and then start from
I think it's I lean more towards making it specifically for the song. Right. Like I decide what I want to film first, but there have been times where I've had older pictures in my phone that I've used as inspiration, or you know, something that I've written long ago, I'll use that for inspiration. But I just like to play the song back and listen to it with my eyes closed and meditate and try to picture exactly how I want the music video to look, like with color schemes and the character, everything.
Do you help with those videos as well?
Oh, yes. He's helped with every single one.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
He helps me with everything.
Yeah.
And so do you put those out on Instagram or YouTube or?
Yes. I post on all my social media little trailers for Instagram and Twitter, and then the full video will be on YouTube. I don't post anything to Venmo or
Vimeo.
We're sorry. Don't even know what it's called.
There's two. There's Vimeo, and then there's
Vimeo, right?
And then there's the other one. Well,
there's the Vimeo as well.
Vimeo's the music video one primarily, and then
cleaning product. Vimeo.
Yes, it gets very confusing.
So, how are you finding the pickup on YouTube?
YouTube, I've managed to get some randoms kind of trickling in, but I'm not sure how the algorithm works on YouTube. It's
difficult
for me to decipher. I look at it and I don't understand what's in front of me most of the time. The views that I get are just from followers and viewers that I already have, and I'm directing them to the video. It's not so much an outside reach, unfortunately. I'm going to have to work on that.
So it just kind of is an additional benefit for the people that follow you, as opposed to bringing in a new audience.
I have gotten a few, but definitely not enough for it
now
to be.
You came to us, I think, through your PR person, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So let's talk about that, because I think that's an interesting approach.
Right. So I was emailed by someone named Eric Alper, and he does PR outreach campaigns for artists. He thinks is going in the right direction, I guess.
He's a very hardworking individual.
He
He's
is.
Always
he
posting
is.
Stuff.
I know. He posts all the time.
And interesting stuff, too, which is... I think the difference.
Yeah, for sure. He's on Instagram. He's on everything.
Yeah, I don't know when he sleeps. Literally, he's always posting
Neither
something.
Neither do I. Yeah. You know, I email him and he answers back within 5 minutes. Yeah. It's like, what were you doing?
So Eric contacted you?
Yes, I read the email and just about fell out my chair. I was shocked that someone, you know, that big had reached out to me. So, you know, I ran down the stairs and told my parents and we printed out his little... paper with what he was offering. I've never done anything like this before, so I don't know what to expect. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm trying. It's very, very exciting. He's gotten me a lot of placements like this, and he's got me on some radio stations and playlists, and I've been doing some online interviews, and the song's been reviewed by lots of sites. I'm getting way more streams than I ever have in my life. I have 2,500 monthly listeners, and I've only ever had 35. Like, it's an incredible increase. It's outstanding, you know? I'm very excited.
So how does the relationship work with the PR person? What is expected of you, and what do they do?
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could tell you in more detail.
do you need to just keep him posted as you generate material, or do you have a schedule of... working in advance, that's okay.
Right, so we had set up, he does one song per month, basically, and we'll focus on that one song and we'll put everything into that. So in this case, it was Bad Sign.
Right.
Which was my most recent release. I gave him all the MP3s and the cover art and press photos and descriptions just for Bad Sign. Mm-hmm. And so then he goes to his media outlets and the people he knows and he sends it out to them. And people who like it will... choose to post
about it. And it has a good
it.
Story. There's something you can talk about. It's
right,
not
right. And
just
he encourages me to post everything that's been happening, the big and the small, every day. Always at it. And he gave me lots of tips and advice on how to up my social media game, stuff like that. Yeah. Yay, even more posting.
Yeah. First tip, never sleep.
Rest in peace, my neck.
So I know people don't generally like to talk about money, but how does the money work? Like you're paying him in advance or you guys are sharing the
right,
proceeds?
Right, so he sends me an invoice and I send him a big chunk of money.
Unmarked 10s and 20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's fair. I mean, it's like, but obviously it works.
But it works, right? If you're getting more streams. Then you're
it
more
does,
you got on this show.
Exactly. I'm so happy. Like, this is amazing. I've never done anything like this before. I'm very, very thankful. Thank you, Eric.
We're happy to have
you're
you.
You're awesome.
This is great.
Thanks for reaching out.
It's great for us to hear new songs.
Yeah.
Like your other song
Speaking
that you
Speaking of new songs.
Yeah.
So, Long Way Home. This is an older song, Long Way Home?
How did I release this again? I wrote Bad Sign first and Long Way after.
Oh, okay.
Long Way Home was written after Bad Sign, but we were still on that wave of positive, upbeat music. So then Long Way Home was created after that. But Long Way Home
was released after.
Was released first, and then Bad Sign was released. We kept it kind of under wraps. It was supposed to be for the competition, and we didn't get anywhere with it. So we had it behind it, was there, and we decided to release Bad Sign after Long Way Home.
Well, why don't we take a listen to it, then you can tell us a bit more about it. But is there anything in particular we should listen for in this song?
Well, I think the song is about... I wrote Bad Sign for my sister because I knew she was hurting and for people who are hurting in relationships. But I think Long Way Home, not intentionally, but it ended up being a song for me because, you know, I hurt too. And I wanted something positive for myself to listen to. And I'm an anxious person. I overthink. I'm really hard on myself. And I write about that in the song. And I say, you know, like I pull my hair out. I break my own back, but I don't give up. I keep going because, you know, I have this dream. I've had it my whole life, and it's difficult sometimes, but I love it.
That's a good idea. An inspirational song for yourself.
Yes, it's an inspirational song for myself.
Let's take a listen to Long Way Home.
Have I lost my
Okay, that was Long Way Home by Jaden Lamb and Marco Palma. Very cool song.
Yeah, again, a really nice. I like the sonic nature of it. And
thank you.
You kind of start out with something a little, I would say, daring, where like, there's the dee-doo-da, where you go, oh, like,
auto-tune.
That was your idea.
That was
not
my
mine.
Idea.
Like, that's kind of, you know, like,
well,
I'm
going to
start with nonsense lyrics. Are you on board or are you not?
Yeah. No, it totally works. It's,
I mean, it's really catchy. I mean, that's what people are going to sort of, that's what people are going to pick up on it. You know?
I noticed I watched the video and the comments in the video, a lot of people were talking about that. Like, damn, you got that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So catchy.
It is very catchy. There's a lot of hooks in this.
Yeah.
You guys actually have a really good gift for melody, to be honest. Like they're simple, but they're effective. You know,
yeah.
Like they really work, and they fit really well with the music, and they resolve nicely, and all those sorts of things that we kind of take for granted a lot of the time. But it's actually not that easy to do.
No,
it's
you know,
not.
Yeah, when it works like this, you go, oh, that's what a song sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
To get there is not that easy, and you hear a lot of attempts.
Especially with the rhymes and the lyrics.
A lot of hair pulling. And a lot of self-doubt.
A lot of places to go.
Yeah.
This got really lush and nice, and it just made me wonder, what artists are your inspiration? What do you look to, or who do you steal from?
Oh, wow. Okay, I think it's 5 or 6 here. I'll name them in order of everyone I've loved in my life. Oh. Green Day first.
Uh-huh.
Then it was.
Don't hear so much Green Day in there.
No, but. No. That's
actually,
more live stuff.
I actually hear that.
Live.
No, but I actually hear the Green Day melodies.
Punk
yeah.
stuff, right?
I do try to bring it in there. It's hidden in there.
Yeah.
I got to have my pop punk.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
So no, that's okay. Green Day, Marina Diamandis, formerly known as Marina and the Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first female musician that I fell in love with. Mm. I was, oh my goodness. I had over. Heels in love with her. I loved everything that she did.
She's pretty uncompromising, too.
I love her.
Makes her.
And then it was Bon Iver, Justin Vernon. He's in a band called Bon Iver, and I absolutely love his music. I also really like Kate Bush and the 1975. There's a bunch of others, too, but for live stuff, definitely Kate Bush and Marina Diamandis.
Do you ever think to yourself, in terms of production, in terms of writing, are you going to do this like a so-and-so, like what would they do kind of thing?
Definitely I think about them when I make my music, but I try not to think about it too much because
But you don't want to be ripping off, but at least consider what would they do with this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It helps you when you're kind of going, I can go this way or that way. It's signposts.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's the process, the origin of how did this song come together?
Long Way Home, my goodness. I haven't thought about it in so long. How did we make that song? It was riding on the tail of Bad Sign. We were still wanting to make positive, upbeat music because a few of my songs prior were a bit slower and softer. We wanted to make some more big music, more happy dance pop. Tunes.
The big choruses are usually my thing. I just like choruses that hit you in the face. So
he loves doing
so. Did it start then with an intention? We want to make a big sounding song, and then you
yeah,
do that?
Okay, yeah,
that's cool.
Did it start with the chorus? You remember?
When I was writing the bed track, actually, it's funny because now we're working in the opposite direction. She'll write the lyrics first, and then I'll write the bed track.
We've
to
just
that.
Recently switched it up. It's so much easier this way. I don't know how we didn't think of this
before. Before I was writing I was producing a bed track first, and I usually always start with the chorus.
Mm.
That's the way I work. There's no right way, but for me, the chorus has to be the most interesting part. So I start with that, and then I just work backwards. I just tone everything down for the rest of the song, working backwards. I used to do it the other way. I used to go forward, you know, linear way, but
Find your way to the chorus.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's actually I think it's a bit more of a Nashville thing. Like they usually start with a title, and the title usually ends up in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So
chances
are the right thing. The first thing they're going to write is the hook and the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to be your anchor for the rest of the song, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because your high point, you can always, it's always easier to go down.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Versus
so
you have much more flexibility on. You really want, as you say, you want to hit it out of the park with a chorus.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Did I It seemed like there was some male background voices
it's him.
Here.
That's me.
See, he does everything for me.
That's
it's always
me.
Him.
Just add some, you know, support on those group vocals.
So, I love it when you do that because it's like a cameo in your music.
Yeah,
that's
my DJ Khaled thing.
You know, it's actually a nice contrast because Jane's voice is very light and very high and kind of airy, and there's sort of a nice contrast.
Yeah. Yes. I'm pretty sure I made you do that.
A lot of separation there in terms of...
Yeah, worked it really well.
I said, get in there and record.
Yeah. Voices.
I actually had one piece of feedback again on this song. I mean, overall, I really loved it.
Love hearing feedback.
Yeah, but there's one thing. If you ever look at the songwriting course on Coursera.org, which is taught by Pat Pattison, who we've mentioned on the show many times, mm-hmm. the Berklee School of Music instructor, very ground up, practical songwriting guy with a lot of like really useful tips. And one of the things he talks about is your melodies. Do you front weight them or back weight them? And front weighting means the melody starts before the backbeat or on the backbeat. And back weighting them means you start the melody after the downbeat, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one.
Right.
Two,
and what's his theory? You start on the
well,
beat?
No, there's two ways of thinking about it. Right. And front weighting tends to be a little more positive reinforcement and a little more upbeat and a little more sort of forward thinking, whereas back weighting is a little bit more pensive. It's a little bit more contemplative, especially if your lyric points
that
way.
That's really interesting.
And I'm looking at your pre-chorus. Have I lost my way? I can't see straight. I think I've had a change. Can I be brave? That's a little bit on the negative side of lyric, right?
Yeah.
So wait a beat before you sing that. Mm-hmm. Sing each of those lines, and that would introduce just another layer of contrast.
So wait, waiting would be the negative?
Yes.
Or coming in early would be
no,
the...
No, coming in...
Back
first,
waiting,
is that
like
positive?
Back waiting. Waiting would be the more pensive.
The more pensive. Okay, yeah. Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I was, I don't know, I went through this, like I started listening to James Taylor, who I never really listened to much when I was younger. And he's like, he's just so laid back and sounds like he's kind of smoking a lot of dope. But his stuff, like, he doesn't sound lazy. Mm-hmm. And that's because all his melodies are front-rated. He's always, like, pushing the changes. So his melody is, like, just before the chord changes. Mm-hmm. And that's why he always sounds so lively but relaxed.
Huh.
It's one of these subtle things. They're just like, man,
this is why I do the show, because I have no idea about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it's something you can be mindful of.
Yeah. I definitely think about it more now.
Yes, that's a great idea.
You know? Yeah. And when you start listening to like great melodies and you sort of see how they do it, and you kind of go, oh, that's how it is. And it's all these, you know, how some melodies just seem to soar, you know?
Right.
And it's just all these weird things.
And certainly, like you guys did front waiting the whole way through, right? And certainly in the chorus, it's applicable. It's like brave. I'll be the hero. You want that to push forward. Yep. You want that to be anthemic and really hit you hard, right? You don't want to be waiting for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's such a positive song. I wanted to talk to you. You mentioned something about dance. And, of course, you know, with dance people are nuts because you have people who are like 144 and 160, and if it's, you know, 140, you know, if it's anything less than 160, it's not drum and bass. And,
For the kids out there, he's talking about beats per minute?
Yeah, beats per minute.
You know, if you do 138, I think we got a hit, but 136, there's no chance
of
that.
So do you think about tempos in terms of that when you're doing sort of dance-oriented stuff?
Well, most of my music it's not that fast-paced. It's usually around 90 BPM.
This one is not fast.
No.
It doesn't sound fast, no. Mm. None of my music really sounds that fast. I don't like fast. I can't make... I'm too slow for that. I need so much space.
You're talking like sort of poppy stuff. You're not really... I'm not going for the dance floor here.
Most pop these days, like even you look at like the Chainsmokers stuff, it's usually around like 80 BPM.
Yeah, yeah.
But they make it pretty dancey, which is, you know...
Well,
also,
there's the groove, which is a whole different topic.
It can still be danceable, but my music doesn't tend to be that fast-paced.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of reggae is like 70 and 80, and that's very danceable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
of course.
You know, it's all about the groove that you choose.
Yes, I'm able to come up with some.
Imagine a waltz at like 150? That'd be crazy.
150?
Oh,
hey, that's what the kids are going to be doing in 5 years. You want to get on
super
top.
Waltz.
Oh, yeah?
You got to get ahead of
waltzing.
That's right. Get into the hyper waltzing thing now.
You heard it here first. So you'd said something, I think, just before we went to our commercial, so to speak, about doing an acoustic show.
Yes, I'm going to be doing an acoustic live performance of Bad Sign on Humble and Fred at the end of the month, January
30th. So what's the acoustic instrument? Is it a keyboard? Or?
My dad's going to come and play acoustic guitar for me. Nice. Isn't he so great?
Cool. Oh, nice.
Yes, we've been practicing.
She does the vocals.
Is that atypical, or do you often do acoustic shows?
I have never
versions?
Done this before. I'm doing a lot of firsts this month.
Excellent. Yes. 2020 is a good year for it.
Oh, it is. It's been a great start to the year. No, I've never done that either.
But when you guys are writing the songs, is it always a one plus one? Is it just like a few chords and the melody and the lyric and before you start doing all the heavy-duty production stuff? Or it sounds like you start with something the beats kind of already developed with the synthesizers and the whole kit and caboodle, right?
This time for our next song that we're working on, we did it backwards than what we normally do it. So she wrote the lyrics first, and then I produced something to her lyrics.
Most
of the time, I would try to build up the production as much as possible, just so there's as little left to the imagination as possible, so she can write to what is probably going to be the finished product. Uh-huh. That's the way.
Now, when you say Jaden did the lyrics first, did that mean also the lyrical melody, or
I wrote the lyrics out and I sent it over to you, and you could already hear a melody in your head of what you wanted, and then he built that beat around the melody that he heard, and then it's less work for me.
Did you send Jaden back a melody then?
I've not done the production yet. We're getting there. So I'm going to be sending it to her. She's been, complaining that I haven't sent it to her yet.
Right.
But yeah, so she's going to be getting that soon. And then she's going to finalize all the lyrics and
melodies. So would that be like a melody, like sort of like a synth sort of doing the melody? Or?
Yeah, well, my problem for a long time was like I would overproduce a little bit and not leave enough space for the vocals.
I would get buried.
Yes. So I'm trying.
That's always the danger, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying. This one is pretty sparse in comparison to the other songs, so I'm trying to leave a lot more space for her to do her work.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
And you can always go back and add stuff like in between the lines.
Once you've got the vocal line down, you hear that music, that means
it's time.
Oh my goodness. Goodbye, everyone.
So quickly,
thanks
it?
For listening.
Yeah. Well, so thank you very much for being here.
How do we get more of your stuff, Jaden?
Yeah.
Oh, you can find me on every social media platform at Jaden Lamb.
And how do you spell that?
J-A-D-Y-N, Lamb like the animal. L-A-M-B.
Oh, that's why you have that. Okay.
Yes.
It's a
I've
mnemonic
got a little
device.
Stuffed lamb
right,
with
so
me
sorry,
to avoid
this
confusion.
This is all the time we have for you guys. You'll have to come back when you have your next round of songs. Special thanks to Jaden Lamb for coming in. And
thank
Marco,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So
it's a pleasure.
For you all out there, send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube and Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Subscribe today to Song Talk Radio Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, Podcast Addict. Get tattoos of us as well. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, web services we've mentioned on tonight's show at Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca. If we remember to put them in, we're not always good at that.
Yeah.
If you are in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup this Sunday, January 26th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Transact Club at Brunswick and Bloor. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup, though we do pass the bucket around so the nice people at the Transact get a bit of bucks. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link to the Songwriters Meetup. And thank you to Rita on social media.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
And on the tech board thingy over there, Don. Thank you.
Don's the man.
And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listeners. Thank you, listeners. Neil, where can we find you, say?
NeilMody.com.
NeilMody.com. Phil, where might someone find you in the virtual world?
On the Phil Emery on Twitter.
Rita?
Right here
at SoundCloud. That's it. Otherwise,
leave her
alone. Don, where
Don
do we find you?
Don Thompson777 on Twittergram.
All right. And Jaden, you had said, find you where?
Jaden Lamb.
Everywhere.
Full name everywhere.
You have a website?
.com.
Oh, and you can find me at jadenlamb.com.
All right,
that's
very
my
good.
Official site.
And me, you can see my photos at Proudfoot420 on Instagram. Stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Keep on writing.
Good night, everyone.
And keep on rocking.
Later.
Good night.
Bye.